everybody, and welcome to Therapy with Horses, a series of podcasts providing you with information about what therapy with horses is, how it works, and what it entails. You will hear from Coral, who owns Changeways, her staff team, but also those who have experienced therapy with horses, and from those who have researched the impact of the therapy, as well as those who have developed it in the first place, in particular Igala. We are really looking forward to having you join us on this gentle walk to discover therapy with horses. Welcome to our podcast series on therapy with horses. I'm delighted to have Coral with me again today. And today we're looking to talk about assisted psychotherapy that can help children.
Great to talk to you again, Eva. I'm really excited about this conversation today and to talk about our work with children. We're going to look at why children and adolescents might need therapy, how equine-assisted psychotherapy can help, and understand a little bit about how overwhelming events create stress in our brains and bodies.
Wow, that sounds a bit complex, but I'm sure you help unravel this. But why would a child or a young person require therapy? Why?
Okay, that's a really good question. They might be struggling with anxiety, depression, low mood. They might be struggling with, you know, strong emotions like anger or sadness. There's been quite a lot of social anxiety after lockdown with children and young people returning to school. And it might be, you know, there might have been a significant life event such as a divorce or, you know, bullying at school. But what would happen is that the changes in the young person's behaviour would be being noticed by the people around them, and that's things like impulsivity, finding it difficult to concentrate or sit still. So the family around them would notice the change first, and then you might things like withdrawing or spending more time in their room, and a general lack of interest in things that they used to enjoy.
Yeah, I suppose I can identify that. I have two boys. I mean, they're now in their 20s, but thinking back to their teens, especially one of them, yeah, quite challenging at times and sometimes difficult to understand what's changed. And yeah, so yeah, I can see, yeah, there's issues. And I suppose over the last couple of years with the pandemic that we've been in, and over the last few years, or the increased use of social media, there's been a lot of interest, different pressures on children and young people that perhaps we, when we were growing up, didn't associate. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't know it didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. so some new pressures, I think, have come for young people that are difficult for them to comprehend or understand why they working differently. Mm-hmm. And I know that was it Young Minds? There was a recent bit of research project, and they say that 1 in 6 children aged 5 to 16 were identified as having a probable mental health problem. And that was going back in July 2020, so before pandemic, really. Okay. And then research showed that it's now 80% of young people say that they have mental health issues linked to coronavirus. That's a huge.
Does seem quite a lot, doesn't it? It does seem quite a really big figure. That is concerning. We are certainly living really in challenging times at the moment, Eva. I mean, there's so much uncertainty in the world. And, you know, one of those things is the climate crisis. Children have a lot to deal with, and there's a lot of pressure on them, I think, to achieve, you know, academically and to fit into their peer group. There's a lot of pressures in the way that maybe we didn't experience as you know, growing up. And equine-assisted psychotherapy is one of those options that can help.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose it's, there's uncertainty around sort of job for life doesn't exist anymore. As I said earlier about social media and our childhood, that didn't never even thought about that. And so how can a horse help a child? Because I mean, a horse doesn't do social media, which is probably a good thing. A horse is probably just not bothered by pandemics. So there's probably the horse is just a horse is an animal and that's what an animal does. But how does that relate to a child or a young person and helping with coming to terms with their behavior or issues that they're having?
Well, again, that's a really good question. Horses provide opportunities for exploration, for learning about ourselves, and they are fun to be around. They're also very connected to their senses and this present moment, so they provide opportunities for mindfulness and for regulation of our nervous systems through touch and using our senses in the outdoors, which can help children and young people feel calmer.
So there's a lot of sensory stuff going on there, and just letting whatever you what children, young people see, smell, feel, get them that's influencing them rather than sort of I suppose artificial what's the word impressions. So I think what you see on television, on social media, and so on is sort of, it's almost, there's a forced way of thinking. While here, the animal just yeah, tells you what it wants and how to respond. It's a relationship building thing, isn't it?
Very much a relationship building, definitely, Eva. And you know, horses are, as I say, they're very themselves, their own unique personalities. And like you say, for children and young people, they're really influenced by others and you know, and peers. And actually, being with horses, they can see the uniqueness of those individual personalities within the herd, and it helps give them almost permission to be themselves. In fact, you need to be yourself around a horse, because if you're not being yourself, they'll pick up on that because they're very sensitive, very, you know, they're very sensitive to emotions. And you know, for example, you know, if somebody's a young person's come to us because they've got an challenging behavior, they've got an anger issue, and they've been sort of persuaded to come to therapy because you know they need to address this. So they come into the pasture with lots of anger, the horses will move away because their system is picking up on that heightened emotion, and it's like a threat response to them. So
I want
then,
nothing to do with you. Yes.
yeah, I'm using my natural flight instinct to get away from you. And actually, that's really helpful for that young person if they were to see that it's their anger that's pushing people away, and well, horses away in this instance, but surely that's going to happen at home or at school, you know.
So, if the equine therapy is done well and the young person responds to it, then there's of the outcome ultimately is probably growth and trust, anxiety is being reduced, hopefully depression if they do suffer from that is reduced, and with that ultimately someone like yeah, I can come over this, so I become more confident, self-esteem goes up, and I suppose yeah, if they learn to behave nicely towards a horse, then those social skills will hopefully spill over in how they behave within a group of people, or peer group or so.
It could well, it could well. I mean, horses are very good at setting boundaries, and you know, they can learn so much from through interacting with horses. But it's also important to remember that children learn differently to adults. Their brains and bodies are still developing. You know, at an exponential rate, the brain is developing. And younger children especially learn about their world through experiences and play. So therapy with horses helps calm the lower brain regions, which are affected by stress and trauma. You might have heard of the fight, flight, survival system, Eva.
That's fine. It's Yes, you freeze when something think, oh gosh, yes, and you stop, or you actually run away from it, which mm-hmm. I suppose in when you were out in the caves were the right thing to do. You either say, well, oh, I have to run away from that animal, that's going to eat me, or in fact it's the right moment actually to stand still, because if I stand still it won't eat me. But nowadays we're not living in caves anymore, so I suppose we'll have to deal with that differently, don't we?
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. But then we can have a real, you know, strong reaction to our environment. We can, you know, we can have that level of anxiety, and sometimes, you know, there's a lot of people that suffer with panic attacks. Yeah. So they might not be faced with a bear that they've got to run away from. There might actually be nothing there of threat, but their inner world, their central nervous system, is acting as if there is, because it's got extreme stress and it's got, you know, adrenaline being sent out to the central nervous system to prepare us to run for our lives. So it can, if you think of children that have experienced trauma or abuse, they have a sensitized survival system, because it's become on red alert. Because, and often, you know, if they've experienced neglect and abuse, it's at the hands of a human. So,
yeah.
So being around horses, children can start to develop a trusting relationship with an animal, which can build a bridge to developing trusting or rebuilding trusting relationship with humans.
That's fascinating. Have you got an example of where something like this has I know you can't mention actual individuals and so on, but I mean, so it's an example you can give us of where, you know, it's worked.
Yes, I can. I obviously have changed some of the details to protect confidentiality. We worked with a teenager who was struggling with social anxiety, Eva, and I'm going to call him Max. He was really struggling with peer relationships, and he stopped going to school. His parents had tried everything to get him back into school, and they were pretty desperate, but they knew that he really liked animals, so they contacted me. We started sessions with him, and obviously I work with an equine specialist, and we've got a number of horses in the pasture. And what we both noticed was that we were all really, really still. There was nobody moving in the session, including the horses. And this became like a theme or a pattern for the start of each session. There was this sort of stillness. And when I sort of reflected on it, I thought, oh, Max is probably stuck in some way. But through the sessions, we gradually saw him change. He started to move, and he especially moved towards, he had a favourite horse in the herd. And then we started to see more movement in the sessions with the herd, which always indicates this, you know, when they go from stillness to movement, that indicates there's a change. And the parents also then let me know that actually there was changes happening at home. Max was going back into school on a very part-time basis, but he was actually going back, and he was getting ready to sit some of his exams. So we had 10 sessions with Max, and we asked him at the end, you know, what he'd really got out of the sessions. And he basically said, the horses just accepted me for me. I didn't have to talk. I didn't have to do anything. I could just
pretend to be anybody or anything.
Yeah, he didn't have to pretend. He didn't. And we heard from him recently, actually. So it was really nice. I mean, that doesn't often happen. He's doing really well.
Good. So what age was he when you first started working with him?
Well, he was about, I think from memory, he's about 15. And he's about, I think we'll say he's 19, 20 now.
So, I mean, it just, that's the fact that he's obviously got in touch, or that you had a conversation, shows that, to me, that obviously he remembers where he was 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that he obviously has become confident, and that it has been an improvement that he's obviously happy to talk about.
Yes. I mean, what you said to me, that he's on a college course now studying, working in agriculture, and he's got a couple of good friends that accept him for who he is. And I think that's been so key. You know, you try, with school, I think we can try and fit into a group or two,
Oh,
all these expectations. And when we leave school, I think the therapy with horses really helped him find who he was and accept who he was. And so he's never going to be massively social, you know, like out there extrovert, but he's got a couple of good friends. He's going to be working in the outdoors, working with animals, and that suits his personality. And it's just great to hear from him.
And is it having reached that acceptance that everybody's different, and there's a role and a place for me as an individual, and I'm not being judged. That's lovely. That's brilliant.
I think that's really key in the horse work, you know, in the horse therapy, is that, you know, that they get that from the horses. So
And
thank you
it's
for that.
fascinating to see that, because when you can, if you go to a counsellor, so you talk things through, and you talk and talk. But what always fascinates me is listening to these stories and listening to you is this non-verbal stuff that comes out there. I'm sure the individuals will also talk to the horse, and, well, some of them will do, but for me, it is that non-verbal communication that really strikes me as being so key.
Absolutely, Eva. So, you know, sometimes the children, you know, the children, young people don't talk. You know, Max certainly didn't do very much talking at all in the sessions. But you could see in his body language how he, you know, became more, you know, instead of his head down, you know, his shoulders would be up and be moving forward rather than being really still. And that you could see that connection between him and his favorite horse. And that took time to develop, like all relationships do. You know, it took time to get to know someone and trust them.
But again, it shows that in building relationships, people can talk and talk and talk, and they never build a relationship with anybody. But it's more that sort of it's your whole. I mean, I can talk to somebody but never look at them, so I'm unlikely to build a relationship. But if I'm get that confidence that yes, I need to look at that, so I'm standing up straight, as you say, the shoulders are back, and I look you in the face. Then I can build a relationship, or somebody is happy to have a conversation. And yeah, that's fascinating. Fascinating.
I just really like how, you know, you're adding bits to it, and I'm learning from you. You're bringing things in, and I think, oh yeah, of course, that's what happens too. So I appreciate that, Eva.
How does a young person or a child come to you, or is being referred? What would be the process?
Well, it's usually a parent or a grandparent or a foster parent that contacts me, usually because they've got a concern about the young person or the child. And that they can get in touch. They'll find out more about me through my website, and my email address and phone number is on that, or via social media.
So it's just a matter of picking up the phone and say, Carl, this is a situation you think you can help.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Eva.
There's that. Okay. Where are you based?
Well, we're based in two locations now.
Okay.
We're in North Cumbria near Brampton, about 12 miles northeast of Carlisle off the A69. We also have a centre now near Lockerbie, which is close to the A74M. So
Okay, yeah.
both places are really accessible, from good road networks.
Brilliant. So it's fantastic that, because my last time we spoke, you were talking about coming, doing something in the south of Scotland. So that's obviously up and running. That is brilliant.
It is.
And so, yeah, I certainly, I mean, I'm not that I want people to look for problems to then have equine therapy, but I think what I would like people is just to make sure they consider this as an option to, as a really viable option to address issues in young people and children,
mm-hmm.
In a very different way. I think that's probably is not out there very much. Because as I said earlier, I think most people are will send you to a therapist and you're sitting in some room somewhere, which
And that doesn't work with our biology, with the whole experience, Evia, that children are, they need exploration and play to learn. Their brains are developing. They need movement, pattern movement, use their senses. That's why people are using the outdoor so much more nowadays, because it's important. It really supports learning and development. So it's great to be doing something different.
Brilliant. So, also thank you very much, Carl. Again, another absolutely amazing conversation. I'm sure we could sit here for another few hours. on that note, I'd just like to point out we will have more podcasts coming up. There will be other themed podcasts in the future. So anybody who wants to learn and find out more about the subject, they'll just have to watch out and either go to your website, go onto social media and look for Changeways on Facebook, Twitter and such like. And like you did with your first podcast, you made the announcements that it's now available. And in the meantime, yes, go onto Coral's website. I will make sure that on the podcast website, we'll have the details on there so you can just click through. And I'm really looking forward to speaking to you again very, very soon.
Oh, thanks, Evia. It's great having this conversation with you. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.